this is F1 Indie Girls with Soraya and Sherelle. We're two girls who love Formula One and IndyCar. This week we have a very special episode. We were able to do an interview with Elba Award. We had such a great time being able to talk with her, and we hope that you enjoy listening to it as much as we enjoyed being able to sit down with her and ask her questions. And on that note, we'll jump right into it.
This is Elba Award. She is Pato Award's sister, and we are so excited to talk to her, to get to know her, and just to have fun.
Yes, she's also the author of the book Intuitive Style, and we have loved reading that. Yes, we have been enjoying it. We haven't finished it yet, but it's been so fun to be able to sit and read.
That makes me so happy.
Yes.
I'm one that, like, I don't follow a lot of the normal social trends. I keep, you know, whatever makes me comfortable. And sometimes I'm like, you know, maybe I should follow the trends. And then I started reading your book and I was like, no, I am perfectly fine with how I dress. It literally matches who I am. And it made me feel good about my sometimes very lazy style. So
I love that. I love that. That makes me so happy. That honestly was a huge driving force in, like, writing the book, because I felt like nowadays with TikTok and Instagram, there's so many trends of, like, the clean girl aesthetic or, like, the mob wife aesthetic. And this is, like, trends that are in for 2024, trends that are out for 2024. And I was just getting so kind of sad that I feel like we've all lost our individual voice when it comes to having personal style. And it's kind of become this herd mentality of, like, whatever everyone else is doing is what I should be doing. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted my book to stand out and be completely different and send a completely different message that, like, the only person you should be listening to is yourself. So that makes me so happy that instead of you feeling like, oh my gosh, I need to change all of this about myself, you felt like it's okay to follow that voice in you and your identity, if that makes sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've really loved it. It's made me feel good about myself. It's made me feel good about, you know, everything. It's absolutely been one of my favorite books to read. Mm-hmm. It was totally worth buying. So if you haven't read it, go read it.
We love it.
I love that. Oh, you guys are so sweet. I want to know your favorite part now. I'm, like, invested. I want to know. I know you aren't done with it yet, but so far, what's been, like, your favorite? What's been your favorite chapter or sentence or part? Anything?
I think my two favorite parts have been the colors when you went through and we're talking about what each color can express. Because for me, my hair changes so fast, like, because it has a red tint to it. And so I'm like, oh, this doesn't look good with my hair, but, like, I want to wear it. And so there are moments where I'm just like, this is how I'm feeling. And I want to express that through my clothes, because that's one thing clothes are for. And So I liked how I'm like, oh, I didn't look at this color that way, but it looks good on me. And now I can, you know, wear it and express that feeling in a way that I wasn't thinking that color expressed. And so that was one thing. And then I also liked you and almost all the, I'm like, just talked about finishing, like, the chapter with all the coats and everything, and how most of them you're like, you know, this coat represents a glass of red wine or whatever. And it's just like, put, like, different aspects of your life into, you know, what clothes, besides just, like, how they feel, just, like, you know, what you do with that feeling. And so that was another, yes, really, I loved that.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that makes me so happy. I was trying so hard to put into words what clothes can make us feel. But when you actually sit down and you try to express it, it's actually quite hard. But I was really digging into how can I put this into terms that everyone can understand, because mm-hmm. I didn't want the book to be, like, just for the quote unquote fashion girlies. Like, I wanted it to be for anyone to be able to read and understand. And so it's things like that, like having a glass of wine, like everyone understands the energy of a glass of wine. Like, you know that it's kind of, like, elegant. It's like that chic, elevated, like more posh kind of a vibe. And no one has to talk about it. We all just know it. And I was trying to put that into clothes. I think once we all understand that clothes have those kinds of vibes that like everyone subconsciously understands, but it's not talked about. Once we talk about it, get it in our heads, it's so much easier to start like working with your clothes and putting your outfits together and making things work cohesively. And like, so it makes me very happy. I'm so excited to hear like how it kind of transforms the way that you look at your outfits now in your closet and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Soraya's a lot further than I am, but I feel like even just in the beginning, when you talk about like the difference between style and fashion, and yes. I feel like it's such an important thing to understand that difference. Cause I feel like it opens up kind of, you know, the world of style for us. Cause it is based off of, you know, our own likes and dislikes and stuff. Yes. And so I feel like it's just, yeah, I love that part.
Oh, that makes me so happy. And it's so important. Like, there is a massive difference. And I mean, I wrote a whole book on it and I didn't go to school to study it. Like, I don't have a degree, but like, I feel like so often people feel like if you didn't go to school to study fashion, that you're like somehow not allowed to be stylish, if that makes sense. And like, it does not make sense. Like, one should not, they don't have anything really to do with each other. Like, your personal style is completely up to you and you don't need to go to fashion school to have good style. So like you say, it was important to kind of outline it at the beginning so that even if someone didn't study clothes or fashion or design, you're allowed to be in this world of style and you're allowed to want to better it or understand it or refine it. Like, there is no, I don't want it to feel like this exclusive club. I want it to be inclusive and like anyone can join and be a part of this style world.
Yeah, that's awesome. Speaking of fashion style, what made you fall in love with fashion and style and just everything?
So I think I talk about this a little bit in the book, but ironically, I think I went to school for like the majority of my whole life having to wear a uniform. And I think because of that, it just made me so much more aware of the power of the clothes we choose and our style and what we like. So since so often I wasn't even allowed to wear what I wanted to wear, it almost made me more stubborn about it. Like, oh, I really want to dive into this and I really want to explore like what clothes I like, what makes me feel good and the combinations I like or the colors, the patterns, anything and everything. And I think as I grew up, it just became more and more of like a creative outlet. And then I think once I reached like college level after college is when I truly discovered clothes as like a self-care aspect of my life. If I was ever having a down day, like feeling just completely unmotivated or low self-esteem or like just not feeling strong or powerful enough to like go out into the world and face everything, a good outfit would always get me out of it. Like, if I showed up for myself and I put in like, I'm gonna take a shower, I'm gonna wash my face, I'm gonna do my hair, and I'm gonna put on that, let's say, dress that I always feel beautiful in, it became literally like a mood booster and like self-care to me. So once I realized the true power of clothes and that they are not something that's superficial, it's actually very intimately tied to our sense of self, I saw them as such a powerful thing. And I just completely fell in love with their history, their stories, what makes them unique. So that's really how the love of style was born.
Mm-hmm. I know we briefly kind of touched on it, but what inspired you to write your book?
So yes, we kind of touched on it and it was mainly feeling like there was a perspective that was missing in the style community. I felt like everything is becoming more and more of a herd mentality of this is in and this is out and this is what we should all be following. And I've seen so many things about like take this course on like color combining or take this class to learn this rule, the rule of thirds, to like put an outfit together. And I've always been the kind of person where I see rules and I just get overwhelmed. Like, it doesn't seem like it's something sustainable. I don't want to go into my closet and think, oh, let me consult my rule book to get dressed. Like, what? Like, no, no one wants to do that. Like, it sounds so boring. And I was like, I have never done something like that, but I consider myself to have style that I like. So I would tell like my husband about what I would think and how my thought process worked when I would put together an outfit. And he would always say like, Elba, that's so interesting. No one thinks like that. And I was like, no, of course everyone thinks like this. And he said, no, no one does. Like, you need to write about it and you need to like put it out there. Like, I feel like people would love to hear this. So I think his encouragement, and then also just my Instagram community, which I adore, they would always ask me for advice. And I think that combination really pushed me to feel like I had something to offer the world in a way that would help other people find their style for themselves. So that really was the motivating factor behind writing Intuitive Style.
That's awesome. I absolutely love that. I know it's definitely helped me, and I'm in college right now, and so I talk to my roommates quite a bit. And I've talked to them about it and they're like, oh my goodness, I love that. They're very much like, one of them is such a girly girl. She loves clothes. And so I was like, oh my goodness, her favorite color is pink. And I shared the little like snippet you had of pink. And she's like, this is literally me. And so I love that.
That is awesome.
What piece of advice would you give someone who has struggled to finding their own style?
I think my first piece of advice would be to retrain your brain to abandon the trends and what you think you need to be doing and really tap into what you like and what makes you happy. And I think it starts with noticing how you feel when you put on a certain outfit and you see yourself in the mirror. When you put on a certain outfit, do you see yourself and think, oh my gosh, I feel very confident. I feel very powerful. I feel like I could go anywhere in the world in this outfit and I would be standing tall and standing proud. Or do you feel like, oh, this kind of makes me uncomfy. This kind of makes me feel like someone I'm not. This kind of makes me feel like it's not flattering or like it's not portraying me in the best way. Like, if something doesn't make you feel comfortable, even if it's literally the trendiest thing on the planet, I believe you shouldn't be wearing it because it's not meshing with who you are. So you can't know your style without knowing first who you are, which reminds me of your friend. When she read pink, she was like, oh my gosh, that's me. Like, she does have a very defined sense of style because she's learned to know who she is. So step one is to really think about yourself as a person. Like, what am I like? What am I attracted to? What makes me happy? And then translate that into clothes. It's almost like clothes are just expressing who you are instead of you thinking, this is the kind of clothing that I want to wear because it's in. And then you kind of try to make yourself fit that mold. I think it's completely lopsided. It should be the reverse. It should be your personality comes first and your clothes come second.
That's some good advice. I'm gonna take that advice.
I love it. And you have the book too, so you have all the tools to like to really do what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. There's already been several pieces of clothing that I'm like, this fits me. I need to go buy it.
I love it. Oh my gosh. You have to share one of them. What's one of them?
I think one of them, I'm usually one who is more, you know, very brown, blacks and grays. And then reading the colors, I'm like, I have so much more like brightness in my life that I could just add if I were to go get a blue shirt or a yellow shirt. Normally I don't wear it because it just like, to me, I'm just like, oh, I'm not a fan, but like I could express myself more and be more me if I started wearing like a green shirt or a blue shirt. I went shopping with my mom the other day. My mom was like, oh, this is so cute. I was like, no, mom, that is freaking adorable. And I want it.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's so exciting. That's the best. And like, follow that voice and what you're kind of like craving with your clothes and go for it and experiment and have fun. And through that process is where you're going to end up having a style that's very unique to you. Like maybe your style is going to be neutrals with pops of color, or maybe it's going to be, you know, like it, you never know, but you have to give yourself permission to go and explore.
How do you pick like your race weekend outfits? Cause I feel like being there at track, sometimes it's so hard to like
find
a good outfit.
it's actually not even funny how hard it is to dress for a track, because it has the most limitations out of any environment that I've ever been in. Because it's like, first, you're going to be sweating your butt off. So you're going to be so hot, you need to dress for like extreme heat. And then second limitation is you're going to be walking everywhere, which means you need really, 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 really comfy shoes. And as someone, like my personality is very much like, I want to wear the kitten heel and I want to wear the sandal and I want to wear all these cute shoes that are not the most comfortable. So for me, it's really like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Because it's quite hard. So what I've realized is I try to keep my fabrics really light. So for example, I try to avoid things that are like a knitted sweater or like leather or wool, anything that's heavy that your skin can't breathe. I'm like, okay, no, because I know I'm going to be sweating my butt off. In terms of shoes, a good sneaker will never fail you. And I think the key with using sneakers at the track is to go for a cute, more dressy sneaker versus like the sneakers that you would wear to the gym. So instead of going for like your running shoe, you want to go for like a, like maybe a New Balance design or like one of those Adidas Sambas or something that has like kind of a more sleek design that it can take you from looking athletic to a day to day look. So a sneaker like that, and I'm specifically loving right now colorful sneakers that they have just like neutral with a little pop of color. So like I have these New Balances that are like, they're mainly white and then they have this green like velvet accent. So I love those and I really wear those a lot to the track and they're very comfy. Something else that's actually quite comfy to wear at a track is boots, like Western boots, cowboy boots, anything. I found they're actually really easy to walk in and they don't give me blisters and they don't have a heel, so it's very comfy. And I think they look really cute with like mini, like kind of like short dresses or even like a longer dress and just, you know, you tuck the boot underneath your flowy dress. I think that's a really cute look for the track. Jeans will never fail you. Some shorts, like linen shorts or cotton shorts, like very lightweight fabrics and denim too. And then for shirts, I honestly always go with neutral tops. I feel like it's nice for a race weekend because I can pair it with anything I want and I don't really have to stress that it won't match. So I let my shoes have the pop of color and then I do like a neutral, like either a white t-shirt or like a black tank top or like I just got this brown like halter top that I really like. So honestly, just like very neutral kind of sleek tops, a comfy bottom that can be either like a cotton short or some denim shorts or jeans. And then usually for race day, I like to be more cute. So that's where I pull out the dresses or like the skirts and I'll do like a midi skirt or a maxi dress and do that with either my sneakers or like a cute little Western boot. And then I'm good to go.
The dress you wore to the 500 last year, so pretty.
Oh,
I loved you. It.
That I feel like the 500 is a different like race all in its own. Like for the 500, everyone goes all out. So I feel like all the wags, they have like their dresses and their skirts and it's extra girly girl. So I love that for that race particularly, you can kind of like show up more. So that's very fun.
Mm-hmm. I definitely know what's going in my suitcase for the 500 now.
We are planning everything. We're like using this as an outfit planning session.
Yes.
I love it.
We're going to move on from style and kind of go towards like our keeping our bodies healthy. So how do you stay motivated to work out / move your body like every day? Because I know, especially I'm a college student right now, and it's just so hard sometimes with all the work that I have going on with school and like everything else going on in life to just keep myself motivated to just go work out.
I think what has been such a game changer for me is, first of all, abandoning like the time limit that I don't know where we all got the idea that like workouts need to be an hour long. Like, can we just drop that? Can we forget it? Can we erase that? I don't know who established that, because I used to be the kind of girl that I was like, if I don't have an hour, then I'm not going to work out. Literally, that was like my mentality. Mm-hmm. And that's quite hard to keep up, like an hour five times a week. First of all, I felt by Saturday, I was like, okay, I just got run over by a truck. So it's exhausting. It was hard on my body. And I didn't enjoy it. I was stressed out all the time. Like by the time my alarm went off in the morning to do my workout, I was like, I don't want to. Like I genuinely dreaded it. And I thought that was so, and I feel like a lot of women can relate to that feeling of like pushing ourselves too hard because we think we need to get results. So thankfully, since following people on Instagram that don't really follow that workout style, I felt like I gave myself permission to experiment with shorter workouts and with low intensity workouts instead of, you know, heart pumping, HIIT, cardio, and weights. And that was just the sweet spot for me. So once I found a workout that I genuinely enjoyed and I let myself feel like 15 to 20 minutes is enough, it completely changed my mindset around it. And now if I have a full day and all I have is 20 minutes to work out, I wake up in the morning and I'm so excited to work out because I feel amazing while I'm doing it and I feel amazing afterwards. And it just gets me out of my head. It gets me moving. It's like therapy. I love that when you work out, you can't think of anything else other than your workout. Mm-hmm. So I think it's actually therapeutic. It's like a meditation for your body and for your mind. So once I started seeing it like that, it was just so easy to show up on for myself because workouts were shorter and I started doing things like Pilates or like bar, or like dance inspired workouts. And it was just what I liked. Like instead of forcing myself to be the kind of girl that like, I want to pump out, you know, weighted squats. I hate squats. Like I just don't like squats. So instead of forcing myself to do the squats, I was like, okay, what leg workouts do I actually really like? And I really like Pilates workouts. So I was like, okay, let's just take it and run with it. And I think once you give yourself permission to do what you like with your workouts, you're going to actually look forward to it so much. And every day you're going to be like, I can't wait to move my body today because it's going to be something that's a treat instead of seeing it as I need to like be overexerting myself to get results.
Mm-hmm. So we love watching like you post your morning rituals. Is there a part of that morning ritual which you have found like most important for you?
That is a good question. I think more than anything, it's starting your day doing something that you like and doing something that kind of fills your cup, because especially since we got our puppy Norby, no. I noticed that puppies are so demanding. I love him. He's my baby. Like he's my child. Like I pretend like I gave birth to that dog. But when I first got him, I was like, wow, this is literally like having a child. Like he has his schedule. He had his nap times. He needs to be taken out to pee, to poop, to do all his things. And all of a sudden my life was not about me anymore. It was about me and some other living creature. So like it made me realize that in order to show up in a way that I felt ready to take care of him and give him my time and give him my energy, I needed to give myself something first, because otherwise it's just you end up being completely burnt out, and then it's unfair to you as a human being to neglect yourself for something else. So it's mainly that habit of waking up in the morning and doing something for you, whatever that is. So like for me, I really like waking up and hydrating because we lose water when we sleep. So whenever I wake up, I know that my body needs that hydration replenished. And I love having a warm drink. Like lattes are my thing. They make me happy. Like if I'm in my PJs and I sit with my latte and it's like just a quiet, I call it a gentle morning. It's just a gentle morning. I'm like, oh, I could die happy. So I just started making time for that for myself every morning. And it's those little habits that nurture you, that make you feel good, that even if they take you, even if it means waking up an hour earlier, waking up an hour earlier and doing that, the rest of the day completely changes. Like I'm in a better mood and more creative in my work. I'm more loving to the people around me, to my husband, to my dog, to my relationships. Like it's like that saying that you can't pour from an empty cup. Mm-hmm. So you fill your own cup first, and then throughout your day, throughout your life, it just, you notice it start to overflow to the people and the relationships around you. And I think that's a very special feeling.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That was... I feel like it's very important to remember that.
Yeah.
Something that's for you.
I definitely feel like we get so caught up in our lives and just get so caught up with everything we have to get done that we're like, we forget about ourselves. And I especially feel that, like, I have two different jobs. I'm a college student. I have a podcast, you know, social media that I have to keep I'll do for our Instagram. And I just get so caught up doing things for other people and making sure I have good grades. Mm-hmm. And I definitely forget about myself. And so that's just a good reminder I feel like we all can use.
Oh, absolutely. And especially if you have all of this going on, mm-hmm. you especially need that time. And whether or not it's in the morning, you just need to carve it out. Even if it has to be in the afternoon or if it has to be at night, if it can be in the morning, that's great. But just in general, just carving that time out for you to do something that you like. Maybe it's like watching a movie in your jammies with like your favorite PJs and like fuzzy socks, or taking a bubble bath, or taking like an everything shower, whatever it is, like just making that time for yourself, because you really do need it, especially if you have all of this going on. I don't know how you're juggling it all. Like that sounded like a lot, honestly. So you do need that.
It is a lot. I definitely feel overwhelmed a lot, but we make it work. So yeah,
we make it work, and you are so capable. But if you give yourself this little me time, you're gonna just be killing it. You're gonna be able to give so much more of yourself.
I love that. I'm gonna start doing that. What food do you feel like more people should include in their diet for a healthier lifestyle?
Without a doubt, things that are, I call them things that are alive, but I know that sounds so weird. basically things that are like as close to nature as you can get. Like if it's literally like a fresh bowl of fruit or like a veggie, things that are unprocessed. Like if you see it and you think, oh, I could find it like in this exact state out in a field or in a forest, I feel like that's what our body really thrives on. So fresh fruits and veggies are just the best. They're like giving us all of the vitamins and the minerals and the nutrients. And I think you are what you eat. So when you eat those foods that are like super colorful and fresh and juicy, you look super colorful and fresh and juicy. And that's what we all want to look like. So just those really fresh and processed foods, especially nowadays when everything is packaged and processed and refined by the food industry or whatever you call it, it's even more important to like dig our heels into the ground and make those fresh foods a priority. So definitely that. And if time is an issue, I think the easiest way to do this is honestly a green juice or a smoothie in the morning. Like get all of your favorite fruits and veggies, dump them in your little liquefier, and just you have your servings for the day. But that really has been such a game changer for me in my diet.
You mentioned a green drink. Do you have like one that is one of your favorites that you would recommend to other people?
So I love all green juice, but definitely my, if like my top recommendations is to look for one that is cold pressed and doesn't have added sugar. So if you turn the label around and you see like, it'll say like total grams of carbs and blah, blah, blah. And then below it, it'll say like total sugars. And then below that, it'll say added sugar. You want that added sugar to be zero. We don't want anything that's artificial or added to it. And my favorite right now is a brand called Alowell or Alwell something. And I actually get it on HEB. We get our groceries through HEB, like delivered to the house, which is such a life saver, honestly. And they have this brand at HEB. And I tried it one day and it was like cold pressed, healthy, no added sugars. So I was like, okay, we're on the right track, but hopefully it doesn't taste bad. And it tasted amazing. So what we do now is we just order some of those green juices to have around the house whenever I'm like craving a green juice. And I try to have one every day. But sometimes they can get expensive, which is annoying. So if it's pricey, what I try to do is make one at home. It's a little more annoying and time consuming, but at least you do save on the cost. So if I do make it at home, I like making it with celery, cucumber, ginger, lemon, and sometimes I'll add some spinach. But basically anything green will do your body like so much good.
I love that. I'm gonna try that.
I know. I'm like, guys, I'm gonna have to go make some green juice.
Yes. I love it.
Yeah. What habits have you found like beneficial in your life that you would like suggest to others?
Okay. So first one that came to mind is sleep. Sleep is more important than we all think. And I was working with a nutritionist actually leading up to my wedding. Her name is Sarah. She's on Instagram as Nourish Thrive Glow. And we were working together because I just wanted to feel my best for my wedding. And she literally told me, she was like, if you are sacrificing sleep for an early workout, you're actually doing your body harm. Like you're not even helping yourself get to where you need to be, because especially as women, we have a very delicate hormonal system, as you guys know. So anything can throw it off. And she said that sleep is when we repair, when our like our bodies are detoxing, when muscles are healing, when our brains are actually detoxing, all of this important stuff. And if we're not getting enough, it doesn't even matter what we're doing throughout the day. It's all going to be undone if we don't give our body the time to do that healing at night. So I think that was the biggest game changer, was actually telling myself like, hey, if I ever have a long day and I don't have enough time to wake up in the morning to do a workout, I need to be okay with that. And I need to let my body rest. And that was actually huge. I noticed so much weight started to just naturally come off, like without even changing what I was eating. I started noticing a better mood. I started noticing like my monthly cycle was getting better and like PMS symptoms getting better, like all of this stuff just connected to letting my body rest. And so that's something huge that if I could tell every person on the planet, I would, because I feel like with hustle culture being so glamorized, people don't sleep anymore and it's so detrimental to our health. So sleep would be number one. Number two would be doing some sort of movement, but it doesn't have to be anything crazy. It can literally be like a 20-minute Pilates flow or like a 30-minute walk outside. It's not about burning calories. It's not about building muscle. It's about moving your body, whatever that looks like and whatever makes you feel good. At least that's how I view it. Because if I view it any other way, it becomes stressful to me. And we don't want that. We don't want that stress. So it's about treating ourselves, not punishing ourselves. And then habit number three would be hydrating properly. I think that's been such a game changer for me, as I thought the only thing I needed to drink was water, but water is actually not the most hydrating thing on the planet, ironically, because water sources have gotten so demineralized throughout these last couple years, unfortunately. So another tip for my nutritionist is making sure I'm getting minerals in my water, not just the straight water, if that makes sense. So adding like sea salt to your water, or adding lemon juice, or adding something like aloe vera. I have it in the morning and it's just a great way to like get some minerals in. But anything that'll just give your water a little bit of a boost instead of just the water will help your body hold on to it better. So those would definitely be my top three tips. Like, get your sleep, move, but don't be stressed about it, and hydrate with minerals.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I love the part about minerals. I am a nurse, and so often we see people who, like, I feel like we're constantly giving people, you know, minerals and stuff because, like, everybody is low.
Isn't that crazy? First of all, that's amazing that you're a nurse. That's awesome. And yeah, it's insane. Like, I didn't know how important it was. And I feel like, I mean, you give me your take as a nurse, but I think also sometimes people think that salt is bad and they think that sodium is bad and all of this is bad. So they completely avoid salt, mm-hmm. but it's what helps your cells like mm-hmm. suck up that water. So then we're all dehydrated like all the time. And it's like, we need to change that narrative. Like, salt mm-hmm. is actually very important. And I even noticed that once I started adding like just a pinch of salt and some lemon juice to my water, that I was actually craving it more versus when I have like just a straight glass of water. It's not the most appetizing thing in the world. I'm like, I don't want to drink more of this. But if you just kind of spice it up a little bit, I feel like your body can actually use it.
Yeah, I agree. I know for me recently, I've water doesn't have a taste, but I'm like, water just, it's just disgusting. And so I've added like fruit to my water recently, and it has been, I'm like, oh my gosh, where's my water? I need it.
Yes.
And like, it's just a little bit of like, oh, just a little strawberries in there, you know, just something. So it gives it a little bit more flavor rather than just the plain water. I'm just like, I don't crave that. I don't want plain water.
So. No one craves plain water. Unless you've like had a grueling workout, you may crave like an ice cold glass of water, but that's like different. Like if you give me just plain water, it's not that fun. Mm-hmm. Strawberry water sounds amazing. You're going to make me start putting strawberries and like cucumber and mint into like my water.
My favorite is putting fresh mint, like straight up fresh mint from like the grocery store.
Oh my god! Or
from a home garden, and then I put lemon, whether it's an actual lemon or lemon juice, and a strawberry.
That sounds amazing. So like good. My mouth is watering right now. That sounds like the best summer drink to mm-hmm. just be hydrating on. Like, I am going to do that this week.
I love that. We've kind of talked about races as it is the month of May and we're so excited. What has been your favorite race to attend? Like your favorite memory?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I think it has to be Pato's first IndyCar race win in Dallas. And oh my gosh, I just remember it has been such a long road to getting here and seeing him where he is. And I remember we were in our motorhome because I always start the race off. Like, I go to the grid, I say bye to him, I hug him and wish him good luck. And then we head back to the motorhome because we like having his radio on. So we have it on in like speaker and we turn it all the way up. And it's like me, my mom, my dad, sometimes my grandparents go, and we're all there huddled, like watching the TV, hearing the cars outside, hearing his radio. And I think he was leading the race, and it was like, I want to say 10 laps left. Like the race wasn't over yet, but he was leading and no one was really challenging him or even close to him. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, he's going to win. And the race wasn't even over. It wasn't even official. And I just started crying, but sobbing, crying. And I went over to my mom and I hugged her. And I remember we couldn't look at the TV because we were so emotional. So the TV was going on like right here. And I was just hugged, like literally all up in her like shoulder, sobbing. Like we're just sobbing into each other, hearing the TV. it makes me emotional right now thinking about it. And so they say that he won and we're like still sobbing. We tell my dad like congrats and we're crying and we like I sprint out of the motorhome to go see him. And I also remember it was the best podium ever because they give them like cowboy hats, they have confetti, they have fireworks going. So it was also such a special celebration in general. I feel like now in IndyCar, the podiums haven't been on that level recently. Like in Dallas, they really went all out. So it was also such a cool location to see him win at. So that memory, just I will never forget that. It was so incredibly special.
That's so awesome. That sounds like a sweet memory.
Yes.
I love that.
I love seeing your guys' relationship, like on and off the track, like watching you race weekends, just that relationship. So special.
Oh, guys, I love that. I love that so many people pick up on it and like talk about it and mention it. And it's funny because when we were little, we would also get people asking, like, especially like in middle school era when people always like hate their siblings. Posman and I were like best friends and everyone would be like, what, like, why do you guys talk to each other? Why are you always like with each other? Why do you even, you know, engage? And I'm like, he's my only brother. Like, he's my best friend. How would I not? But the more I grow up, the more I realize that it's a huge blessing because even though you're family, you're not guaranteed a friendship. Like that really is something that you choose to have or are blessed with. And I'm blessed that he actually is like my best friend. And I think him having a job like the one that he does where it is a dangerous sport and you are not guaranteed anything and there's always that underlying danger, I feel like it, at least for me, it makes you value those relationships so much more. So I really don't hold back when it comes to being supportive of him and there for him and like loving and showing that love because you're not guaranteed a tomorrow, even in life, even with everything, you know what I mean? Like tomorrow is never a given, but especially with jobs like that, where it's just adrenaline and danger and all of this stuff, it just really forces you to always have present in your mind. Like if you love someone, you better show it and be there for them and really like, I guess, be grateful for that relationship that you have. So I love that people really like detect that closeness because especially being like our only other siblings, like I don't have any other brothers and sisters. So he really is the only one that I have. And when we were little and we moved to the US, we were completely alone. Like we had no friends. We were just new kids on the block. And when you go through something like that, you realize that your family is like the most important thing you have. So I think it's been a lot of things in general that have led to that close relationship, but I'm thankful that it's there and that it's happened that way.
Little question off of that. How has been your experience seeing Pato become this huge famous racer that he is? How has been like the sideline?
I love it, honestly. It's very inspiring. It's just so cute. His fans are the best. I'm biased, but they truly are the best. They're like the most caring. They are the most thoughtful. They're the most enthusiastic. They always show up. They always support. They're funny. They love having these little inside jokes. It really feels like a community and it feels like a family. And it's the best feeling to see him interact with them and see him like cracking jokes with them. And recently I was at Barber and this little family with three little girls show up and they all have these Pato jerseys. And one of the little girls just hands him a hand colored painted like little drawing and it said like to Pato, like love Fiona. And I just wanted to sob. I was like, I can't handle this. Like someone help me. I think I posted it on my story because it was the most adorable thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. So it's the best feeling. And he's so giving with his fans. Like anytime I've seen his schedule and because he sends them to me like at the beginning of a weekend, I've seen his schedule and that boy barely has time to like breathe. And even with such demanding schedules, anytime he's heading like from the track to engineering or to get changed or to go get a bite to eat, he will stop to sign and take photos like with as many people as he can. And I honestly think that's why he's grown the way he has, is because he chooses to give back in however he can. And that's really special. And I admire him so much for that, because a lot of people, when they get famous, they kind of forget about the people that have supported them along the way. So it's very special to see how he really does give back to his fans.
Mm-hmm. I will say, as a Pato fan, that it is one of my first race was the Gallagher Grand Prix last year. And I had no idea what to expect. And I saw Pato and I was like, oh my goodness, I need an autograph. I need a picture. Yes. And I was like, but he's going, like, they just got from practice. Like, I don't want to bother him. And then I was like, everyone just like, he just stopped. Like, he knew people were going to be there, and he just stops and he just accepts it. And he's not rude. And that's one of my favorite things, is he's just like, yeah, I have places to be. I'll get there eventually. But like, his fans matter. And that has been one of the biggest things. And I've seen it with a lot of the other drivers too. You know, that has been a really kind of warm, heartwarming thing, that they are willing to just stop. And I love like Pato and him accepting all the crazy bracelets everyone gives him. I mean, we have like 4 ready for him at the 500. So we're so excited.
Yes. I love that. My favorite part is actually reading the messages on the friendship bracelets. It's literally my favorite thing to do.
What is the one girls favorites?
Will be like very creative. Like, they will say some things. Like, I'm surprised no one has given him a bracelet actually like spelling out their phone number for him to like text them or call them. I'm still waiting for that one.
We could do it.
Yeah. Like, just a side tip, like, that would be iconic. But I've seen some, oh my gosh, super funny ones. Like, I think he's gotten one that said like foodie. He got one that said daddy. Like, he's gotten some crazy ones that I'm like, I always look forward to it. I'm like, the more bracelets, the better.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Well, we have a week. So it looks like we'll get on some crazy bracelets.
Yes. Yes, girls. Do your thing. Work your magic.
Awesome. I know we kind of briefly like talked about how, you know, it is a dangerous sport. And obviously Pato's had some crashes. How does it feel in those moments, you know, having to watch that?
Oh my gosh. Terrible. So bad. Like last year at the 500, when he was kind of shut out from passing for, I don't know if it was passing for the lead or passing for second place. I think it was passing for second. Oh my gosh. I felt my heart, like, I almost like black out, because it's so crazy to see. And all you think in that moment is you want him to be okay. That's all you care about. Like, you're heartbroken for a split second about the result, because you know that he wanted something different for himself and for that moment. But that feeling is completely washed away by just wanting and praying with all your heart that he be okay and that he not be hurt. So it really is not a pleasant feeling. But anytime we talk about it, and anytime I like discuss that kind of a thing with him, he always says that he's doing what he loves, and he literally is doing what he's passionate about, and that he doesn't want to be doing anything else. And as a family that loves him, that's literally the thing that you have to hold on to, because there's always going to be fear and you're always going to be scared about what could happen. So the only way to not get overwhelmed by that is to focus on the knowledge that he really is doing something that just completely lights him up and makes him happy and makes him fulfilled. And that's why we all stay by his side and support, even though my mom would probably wish he weren't a race car driver. No matter how hard she wishes, he would have chosen something like maybe not as crazy. She's still there and like his number one fan and will always be the first to like rush to his defense. And it's because we all just focus on like he's doing what he loves and that is what matters. And we're here to support that.
That's awesome. I love that. Oh my gosh. I can only imagine how you feel because I know when we see like even any driver crash, we're always like, oh my gosh, like please be okay, please be okay. Even the smallest crashes. So like,
yes,
I can only imagine how you feel having it be your brother.
Oh my gosh. It's terrifying. Your heart stops beating. It's like I black out in those moments until I see that he's like out of the car and okay. Yeah. But it is a blessing how much they've invested in making the cars safer and making that engineering and technology be better. So it's very nice to see that every year, like it's kind of a step up and they're being more mindful of like the car safety, because I mean, if you take it back like 10, 15 years ago, those men were so like vulnerable and they still are. It's still crazy, but at least it's better. And I'm hoping that throughout the years, they will find ways to make the cars even safer.
Yeah. With it being a week away, I guess it's like 2 weeks away or whatever from the 500, what are you most excited about?
That is a good question. I think I'm most excited for when I head out to the grid and I see all of the people and the noise and like, oh, it's just crazy. It's the first time I went to the 500, it was actually during COVID. So there were like no fans. It was not your typical 500 experience. So when I got there, I was like, what is all the fuss about? And Pato was like, he was like, Elba, this is not what it is. Like, don't even think about it. And I was like, okay. And then the next year, I think it was when they actually let all the fans come out. And I remember I stepped out and just every seat is taken. You just see colors all around you because everyone's wearing their jerseys. Everyone is cheering. It's just the craziest sensation. Like when they're saying the anthem, when they're talking about the race and like blessing the player, the drivers doing the prayer, like it really hits you how monumental that race is and how it makes man become legend. Like it's a huge transformative event. So I think when you're there and you really let it sink in, like the importance of what is going on, it's so magnetizing, it's thrilling. So I just, every year I look forward to that feeling. And then in second place, the night before the Indy 500 is actually a very special family tradition for us. We all get together in Pata's motorhome. And we get pasta, chocolate cake, and chocolate chip cookies. Aww. And we all sit around and we have our pasta and our pizza. And then we all have a bite of chocolate cake and a chocolate chip cookie because they say it's good luck. And we all just talk and then we walk around the track. And it's the most special time. Like we love doing that little family tradition. And it's just the best way to kind of like have some quality time before the craziness of the 500.
I love that. I'm so excited to go and experience it for the first time. We've had it planned for months and the fact that it's here in a couple of weeks just is so crazy. And I'm so excited.
That is so exciting. You guys are going to have an amazing time. And when you get there, you'll know what I'm talking about. With this, like just magnetic energy. Like you're going to be shook at the amount of people that are there.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, I think that is all the questions we have for you.
Yes.
That flew by. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That was really fast.
That was such a fun chat. Thank you guys for like inviting me on. And I loved your questions. They were so thoughtful. I love that we touched on like everything from like style to health to racing. You guys were such good interviewers.
Oh, thank you.
It's been such a pleasure to have you.
Yay. Well, thank you guys. And I hope I get to run into you at the 500.
Yes, that would be so much excited. Fun.
That'd be a lot.
We'll manifest it. And I'll be looking for your friendship bracelets, by the way.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Thank you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for our special guest episode with Elba Award. Thank you to Elba for joining us. It was amazing talking to you and we had so much fun. I feel like I really got to know you and got to know a lot more about fashion and how to stay motivated every day and just how to kind of feel better about myself and the things I do. As just a little bit reminder for our upcoming podcasts, we have our Indy 500 qualifying recap and the Italy GP recap coming up next week as well. We're going to hear Sherelle's side of the Indy 500 qualifying because she is there and it's going to be so exciting. This has been F1 Indy Girls and we will see you next week. Bye.